All right, shall we do this? Shall we do this? Don't forget to like and subscribe, everybody that's here. Check us out on Spotify, Podbean, fucking Amazon, literally fucking everything, apparently. I didn't know. I'm still finding out that we're on shit that I didn't know we were on. And Patreon, patreon.com/GITN podcast.
Well, welcome, everybody. Welcome to episode 196 of Ghost of the Night.
I know. I'm awfully chipper all of a sudden.
Paranormal and True Crime Podcast. Tonight, we are doing... Who are we doing? To whom are we covering?
We're going to get to that because I changed the order in which I'm going to read these notes.
I don't give a... Your show, you...
All right. So tonight, right now.
Right now. Not tomorrow, right now.
Sunday. In Hamilton. I have to put on my true crime voice. All right, we're going to start tonight with talking about Samantha Koenig. Or Koenig? It looks like Koenig to me.
Who? That's not what I thought we were...
Okay. Just let me do my thing here.
Okay.
So, we're going to start talking about Samantha Koenig. Samantha Koenig was an 18-year-old high school girl in Anchorage, Alaska, and was actually very liked by her peers and was a pretty good kid. Like, smoked some weed, got a little drunk here and there. You know, normal high school kid shit. But never gotten into trouble. She lived with her boyfriend, Dwayne, and her single father, James.
In Alaska.
Yes.
Okay.
Old is that AK? Is Alaska AK?
Yes, yes. I believe so.
AK-47, motherfucker.
I believe you are correct.
AK-50 state. Well, no, 49th. Right? Hawaii was the last state. Puerto Rico, I guess.
I don't think Puerto Rico was actually
it's not a
state. It's just
it might as well be. They have to follow our laws, but they can't fucking vote on them.
Yeah, and I think they don't have to pay taxes or something. I think that's why the polls went there.
Well, why would you make them pay taxes? Aren't they, like, doesn't everybody in those fucking countries, like, aren't they, like, forced to drive, like, 56 Studebakers and wear fucking fedoras?
I don't know about...
I know that's how Cuba is.
That's how Cuba is. I don't know about Puerto Rico. I've never been there.
We'll have to go sometime. Call the
my travel agent.
The travel agent, yeah, that we employ. Yeah.
that I call every time I go, you know, down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're rolling it.
I mean, yeah, nobody wants to fucking fly commercial to their private island that they bought from Jeffrey Epstein.
Do you need a car when you really just got an airport right down?
That's what I'm saying.
In my backyard.
And if that fails, just get the jetpack out. Duh, stupid. All right. So Samantha worked at a coffee kiosk called Common Grounds.
Well, they could have done
they did there.
Much better with a name.
I think it's all right. I've seen worse.
Common Grounds.
I mean, shit, Dunkin' Donuts isn't even Dunkin' Donuts anymore. It's just Dunkin'.
Because they don't... Do they even sell donuts anymore?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've been in a
Dunkin'. Well, that's also not coffee. I don't give a fuck. If your coffee has ice in it and a bunch of fucking whipped cream and chocolate syrup...
It's a nasty-ass...
It's a coffee shake.
Yes.
Like, I like Starbucks, but I don't get it because I like coffee. I get it because I like diabetes. So, what are we looking at? Tyler's here.
Tyler's here. Gregory's here. David's here. My mother's here. Jenny's here. I'd have to scroll up.
Spanish, but they look black. I mean, that's in a lot of countries. There's dark-complected people in a lot of...
Yeah, don't be racist, Tyler.
Brazil.
Yeah, there's everybody in Brazil.
Big butts. All right, let's take it to the goddamn topic here. You're fucking... You people with your big butt Brazilians. So, again, she worked. Coffee, kiosk, Common Grounds, Anchorage, Alaska, 18, high school, boyfriend, dad, James, Dwayne, Samantha.
Okay.
Got it? Get it? Got
check,
it? Good.
Check. Check.
All right. So, she was closing the store by herself on the 1st of February, 2012. 5 minutes before she was set to close the store, a man in a ski mask approached the kiosk and ordered a coffee, which is not uncommon. It's fucking Anchorage, Alaska.
It's cold as shit.
Yes. Because, like, first thought, I'm like... Let me phrase this right, because it was an 18-year-old girl in this story. Bitch, it's fucking... Like, you would automatically be like, ski mask, no. Just ski mask equals nope.
But not in Alaska.
Exactly.
In Hawaii, yes.
You had to think about that one.
Florida, yes.
Yeah, if you walk up to me with a ski mask on and we're in fucking Albuquerque, we're going to have problems.
Today, if you walk up to me in a ski mask in Ohio, with as hot as it is in the studio...
You better be cutting grass.
No, you better be freaking doing something. But it's whatever it is, it's not good.
Either you show me your butthole or you walk the other direction, sir.
There will be no showing a butthole. I do not want to see a butthole today.
That's the only way you get out of that one. So, again, man with a ski mask walks up 5 minutes before close and orders coffee. Now, when Samantha turned around to give the man the coffee, he was holding a gun to her. And he told her that he was robbing the kiosk.
How much money are you going to get at a kiosk?
Wait, there's more, unfortunately. Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. So the man told her to turn off the lights in the kiosk, give him the money in the register, and to get on the ground after doing all of that. Gave her instructions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like a test.
Yes. Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
Now, she complied with his demands and then put all the money from the register in the bag and got down on the ground, as he said.
Okay.
Survival skills. He told her to turn her back to the window, and he told her to do that so that he could reach in and zip tie her hands together. So he reaches in, zip ties her hands together, then behind her back, and then enters the kiosk.
Okay.
Once he got inside, he asked where her car was, and she told him that she didn't have one and that her dad would be picking her up soon.
She's got a snowmobile.
Yes. So then, in response to this, he stuffs napkins in her mouth, like a makeshift gag, and then picked her up, and they exited the kiosk together. Now, he started walking with Samantha in the direction, across the street, in the direction of a IHOP and a Home Depot that were right there. And this was 7:55 p.m., I think. So both places probably open.
Probably.
Yes. So he starts walking across the street to a parking spot where his white truck was, adjacent to the IHOP. Now, on his way there, this one was interesting. He saw a Canon camera sitting in the on the ground. Like, a nice one, I guess. So when he bent over to pick it up, she took off. Didn't make it very far.
It's hard to run with your hands zip tied behind your back.
For us, it's hard to run, period.
Period. Well, because I'm old.
And I'm fat.
Well, I'm fat and old.
So she tried to run. She didn't make it very far. She was subdued again. At this point, he told her to be quiet and how quiet his .22 was, saying, if you're going to be a problem, I can shoot you right now and no one's going to hear it.
Yeah, .22 just sounds like a captain.
Yes. So, again, he basically told her, if I shoot you right now, no one's going to hear it, no one's going to know, and I'll be off to the races like nothing.
Okay.
See ya. So he told her to act like she was drunk and walk back to the truck with him, which not hard to do.
No.
You know, you can pull that off.
I've had a lot of practice.
Yeah. So he got Samantha into the truck and removed the napkins from her mouth and told her that he was kidnapping her for ransom at this point.
So her day's gotten real shitty.
Yeah. And she was already arguing with her boyfriend. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I wonder which is worse.
Fucking Dwayne.
For an 18-year-old girl, probably arguing with the boyfriend was worth the worst part of the day.
Right. So, at this point, he puts her in the back seat. Wait, no. Never mind. That's a lie. I'm jumping ahead.
Jump ahead.
So, he starts driving away with her in the car. They stop at a red light where a police car pulls up next to them.
Play cool.
Yes. And that's exactly what happened. She didn't do anything because she was afraid of what might happen if she tried to gain the attention of the officers in the car.
Yeah.
Understandable. Like, there's all these moments with, like, the IHOP and the Home Depot and the cops. It's like, you would think that you would try, but, like, I've never been in that fucking situation. I don't know. For all I know, I just shit my pants and cry.
You never know if you are in that situation.
I feel like shitting your pants and crying might be a good idea. Like, they might be like, nope.
I know if I kidnap somebody and they shit their pants, I'm not waiting for the money. Just go ahead and go.
That's what I'm saying.
But I would never kidnap anybody, just so everybody out there knows.
Yeah, so if you get kidnapped, shit your pants. Just shit, if you get hit in a car, if you're in a car accident, shit your pants. Just shit your pants.
We're turning all the time. This into a survival podcast now.
Yeah, survival at all times. Shit your pants. Animal attack, shit your pants. What? Drowning, shit your pants. Lightens you up a little bit, pop right back up to the top.
Just keep drinking until
you shit your pants. Excuse me. Okay, so they keep driving. They kept driving until they arrived at a park where he stopped the car, or the truck, got out, cleared off the back seat, asked her if she was cold. She said yes.
Yeah, it's Alaska, so, jackass.
Yeah, so he laid her in the back seat and put a blanket over her at this point. Swell fella.
So far, he's not. Sounds like a nice guy.
So he was telling her things that made her think that this whole situation was a well-planned out abduction for ransom payoffs and shit. I guess trying to make her feel more at ease. Not really sure how that fucking works. You kidnap me and you're like, it's all going to go just fine if this happens. I'm like, you fucking kidnapped me. What am I supposed to be like? Okay, Jim, high five. No. The fuck? Just be a kidnapper and get the shit over with.
Do what you got to do.
Just ask for less money so it's easier to get faster.
Well, if there's bargaining, you know,
when it comes to... I want $50,000.
I'll give you
$25,000.
$48,500. If your parents or significant other is haggling over the price of your ransom...
Which has happened.
You might just want to say, I'm fucked.
That has happened in the history of...
Oh, has it really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not paying a dime over
$250,000. I want to say it was like the Rockefellers or something like that. Like a family that like shouldn't have given a flying fuck.
About money, yeah.
Yeah, like a family that could have pulled like a $20 million check out of their fucking twat and just like slapped it on the table and been like, there you go. I guess I'm not paying the garbage man this month.
You know you're screwed because my kids got kidnapped. They called me with a $250,000 ransom. I said, you're going to have to give me at least $150 to take them back.
No, it wouldn't even be that.
I'm joking. I love my kids.
You'd be like, I got some LED lights and stuff. You can have those.
I got a dog. How about an even swap?
Where is that little bitch?
I think she went back.
Walking around somewhere.
She went back to the kitchen. There she is. Speak of the devil.
What did you just do, you fuck?
She goes, I don't like the way you talk to me. I went and shit in your room. I
wouldn't be surprised. So... After a while of sitting in the truck at the park, the man took Samantha back to his house, knowing that his daughter would be in bed by this time. His girlfriend would probably be up, but this wasn't an issue. Well, a family
that kidnapped together.
Well, this wouldn't be an issue because this happened with Gacy and a couple other guys where like they had their area and you didn't go in there, you didn't ask what went on in there, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how the fuck they pull that off.
Yeah, I could never get a man cave.
Are you shitting me? Like, I mean, I could, like, one day I could, like, I've been in relationships where I could have a man cave, but it's not like, I'm not, like, fucking deadbolting it from the inside while I'm in there and not getting questioned.
Oh, I've had plans to have a man cave, but every relationship live-in that I've had, you know where a man cave was? The bathroom.
Where you take shits.
Nobody's.
We're really circling back to shitting a lot today.
I'm just saying that was the only room where I could not.
You want a man cave? Shit your pants. Every day in the same room. It'll clear out.
You want to cure cancer?
Shit your pants.
David, I have the cure for COVID.
Shit your pants. This is the Shit Your Pants podcast. Jesus Christ. So yeah, he didn't have to worry about his girlfriend coming in and fucking around. I guess he just had it made like that.
Oh. Gregory's giving us marriage advice. Just marry the right woman. If it was that fucking easy.
Still gonna shit my pants. So he left the house and was going to Walmart to get a cheap burner phone, but decided against it because of the security cameras at the store and went back to the coffee shop kiosk, retrieved Samantha's phone, and cleaned up a little bit. Some ballsy shit going on in this one already.
Or is he just that stupid? Never go back to the scene of the crime.
He did. So once he did all that, he looked up Samantha's address, took his girlfriend's car in the middle of the night, went to Samantha's house to get her debit card from the truck that she shared with her boyfriend, Dwayne. And while he was there, Dwayne actually came outside and like saw him, this person, and made eye contact with them and then ran inside to get help. I'm assuming to get her dad. Mm-hmm. And the guy was obviously gone when he came back.
Obviously.
Duh. So after he returned to his house, he got a glass of wine and a glass of water for Samantha. And he untied her for a short period of time. I don't know. Maybe it was to drink the water, go to the bathroom, I don't know. I didn't find those details. Not that they matter.
Maybe he was just being nice.
Maybe he was shitting his pants. So when she asked if the ransom was working out as planned, he told her that it was, which made her feel a little bit more at ease, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. Still don't understand that one. But after that interaction, he tied her up again with rope. Like, he tied her to a bolt on the wall. So she was, like, hanging there. Raped her twice. And then he strangled her to death from behind with a cord. And while he was doing that, he stabbed her once in the back just below the shoulder. I guess just to do it. It's kind of fucked. This guy's a real... He's a winner.
I mean, how much blue chew do you have to take to rape her twice? How long...
It gets worse.
Oh, shit.
So he left her body hanging in the garage and went back to the house and started packing his bags and things into the car because he had finished all of this activity at the perfect time to pack up himself and his daughter so that they could leave to go on a family trip. They're going on a cruise in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah.
Sounds like a good plan when you're living in Alaska.
So he goes from raping and murdering an 18-year-old girl that he just kidnapped to... Come on, honey. Let's go get in the car and have fun together as a daddy-daughter trip.
Sounds like a good, perfect getaway to me.
It's the cutoff. Where's the line there? You know what I mean?
Well, that line is very blurry with serial killers.
Clearly.
You know, they're not playing with the full deck.
This is Robin Thicke blurry.
I hate that song. Bloodlines. Not a big fan.
I mean...
Not even that talented.
You know you want me? That's like the only words I know to any of his songs.
Not even that talented.
His dad's rich, though.
His dad's dead. God rest
his
soul.
Well, his dad was rich.
He's richer than us. He was living on that growing pains money.
Yeah. So, that day, he rented a car and drove over 2,800 miles over a course of, I think, 10 days or something like that. Which may or may not have been to throw off any trails that he might be leaving behind.
What year was this?
2012.
Okay.
Yeah. So and then they finally arrived in Lafayette, Louisiana, met with his girlfriend, and they all boarded ship to go on their trip. We're going on a trip in our favorite cruise ship, zooming through the Gulf of Mexico. Little Einsteins.
To Puerto Rico.
In Costa Rica.
In Costa Rica.
In Guam.
Isn't Guam on the Pacific?
I don't know.
I think Guam's over there by your people.
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Or the Philippines.
It's Guam.
Somewhere over there, Vietnam. Somewhere.
It's Guam.
I know it's not in the Gulf of Mexico.
I'm pretty sure it's just a trash punt island. Like, built from trash. Anywhere that you don't have a war, you have an engagement that lasts, 2.5 hours?
Or 22 or 21 years, whatever.
Yeah. Potato, potato.
It's all the same.
It only matters when America's there.
True.
So, after they turned home from their trip, lovely trip, I'm sure, when they returned back to the house, he started running space heaters in the barn or shed.
So... He killed, raped, killed, or whichever order.
Raped, then killed.
Okay.
Left her hanging there.
Went on vacation.
Yes.
10 days to Lafayette, Louisiana. 10-day drive.
It was a 10-day ordeal entirely. But he drove from Anchorage, Alaska to fucking Louisiana for some reason.
I would think it would take longer than 5 days. 5 days by, I mean, I guess the girlfriend had to drive. So it was a 10-day.
No, they met the girlfriend in Louisiana.
Well, I thought she was at the house.
No, the daughter was.
How old was the daughter?
We don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
She is, before you even start asking, I have no information on the daughter.
She probably started doing stepdaddy porn.
Completely separated her from it entirely. I think she got a new name or a whole new identity or something like that from government and shit.
Probably smart.
Yeah, I mean, like, she didn't do shit.
Okay, so 10-day trip.
It was more than that.
So the body's ripe.
Yeah. There's a lot of bouncing around in this timeline, and I got confused a little bit.
But I'm assuming he did not clean up the get disposed of the body before he left.
No, the body left it hanging there.
Left her hanging.
So when he gets back, he starts working in the shed, which I guess was he just started tearing it up down from the inside out, okay. Like shelves and shit like that. Started like making shit into firewood and burning shit. All while he had space heaters running to thaw Samantha's body out.
Because it's cold as balls.
Yes, because it's Alaska. So once she started to thaw out, since we're in Alaska at this point, her body froze before rigor mortis set in. So she was still, like, her appendages were still bendable and shit. So he ties her hands up to the bolt on the wall and has sex with her dead body.
Okay, now you've lost
21 days after he killed her. So I lied. I think the trip was 10 days. I think the trip down there was 10 days, and then it was like 10 days for every like the cruise and shit and all the incidentals.
So he defrosted the body and then tagged it again.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I don't really have a...
It might not have been 21 days at this point. It was around 20.
I can't even make a little bit of a funny joke about that.
No.
That is... There's nothing funny about
unless
that.
We have a fucking sound clip of Cold Mona.
I mean, that is...
The Prince song?
That is something... yeah.
Isn't that about fucking a dead body? Making love by refrigerator light or some shit?
Really?
I'm pretty sure that's actually part of the song.
I don't think I've heard that song then. But
it's probably for the best.
That is one thing I will have to say. I understand. I don't condone. I understand people's desire or want or need to kill. Some people are just fucked up. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying people are fucked. But where I have a problem, how could anybody get off molesting a corpse?
I don't know.
I mean,
it's not common, but it's not.
It's more common.
It actually occurs, so it happens more than you would hope.
We had that here in Cincinnati. Didn't somebody work at the morgue?
Oh, probably.
I think I remember hearing that kind of story.
Was it Buck from Kill Bill?
I don't think so.
He said, "My name's Buck, and I'm here to fuck."
I'm pretty sure there was somebody at the Cincinnati morgue or the morgue, whatever it's called,
whatever.
In downtown Cincinnati, had a little issue with that.
Gross. What a piece of shit.
Or I could just be dreaming that shit, and then what does that say about me?
We're going to look it up.
We will. We will Google that
There's
shit.
There's a fucking bonus episode right there.
Coming to you Wednesday. Wednesday.
So he then cleaned up and took his daughter to school. Yeah, he has no problem just going from atrocity to, oh, hi, honey.
Wholesome parenting.
Did you get your peanut butter sandwich for school?
How old was... Oh, never mind.
I don't know. I have zero information about the daughter.
Obviously, school age, she couldn't drive, so...
No, she was young. I know she was young. I want to say she was probably... I would say elementary. The first couple grades of elementary school, if that.
Okay.
So, yeah, he takes his daughter to school, and while he was out and about, he bought a Polaroid from the store, which he took home, positioned Samantha's body, and... took multiple attempts at this. He attempted to sew, glue, and tape her eyes and mouth in ways that would make her look like she was emoting, like as if she was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Because he then held up I think it was a February 13th copy of an Anchorage newspaper next to her, took a picture as a proof of life picture to request the ransom, even though she'd been dead for 21 days at that point.
Hmm.
Yeah.
He obviously didn't think this through very far.
Oh, yeah. He did. Kinda.
Well.
Kinda.
I mean, if you want the money.
Take the picture first.
Yes.
Then you kill her.
Yes.
But, I mean, don't kill anybody. Like, but, you know, if you're going to do it, be good or be good at it.
Good point.
Shut up. Sounds like someone's having a party.
Is that not that's Ice Cream Man, is it? Yeah, that's
it. That's Ice Cream Man.
Walk the dinosaur, damn it.
Yeah. So while all this was going on, police kind of got involved with the coffee kiosk scene.
Kind of. After 21 days.
Dude, this is another one of those stories that has a lot of dick swinging going on with law enforcement.
It's Alaska.
Like, I don't need your help shit.
It's Alaska. She probably just got abducted by a polar bear. It's Alaska. I know Anchorage is a little further south. Just go along with it, damn it.
Polar bear. Why'd you get abducted by a polar bear? Wouldn't you get like mauled and eaten?
Well, abducted, mauled, eaten. Same thing.
Why'd you do it, polar bear? I was lonely.
Well, because
I haven't had a glass bottle of Coke in 10 years. They stopped making the commercials. I got to feed my kids, man.
Exactly.
So
times are rough for polar bears these days.
Yeah. So the police are kind of involved in this at this point. So after the kiosk opened that morning, obviously somebody noticed that things were a little off.
I would hope so.
Yeah. So that's when the people started getting called. And this is also when they established that she wasn't with a friend. She wasn't with her boyfriend. They just kind of assumed that she kind of took off. And she also, she texted her boyfriend, because like I said, they were arguing, and said something along the lines of, "You fucking asshole. I'm going to stay with friends for a couple days. Tell my dad. Plan on acting weird," or something like that.
Who hasn't got that text from a girlfriend?
Not verbatim.
I have, pretty much.
So, and again, the cops just kind of assumed that she just kind of skipped town and took off, and she ran away, if you will.
So Barney was being a little fucking lazy.
Yeah. Now, due to all this interest, the owner of the kiosk provided access to the security camera footage showing what happened. And it was quickly established that this wasn't this person's first time doing something like that, because it seemed very smooth and planned.
Well, even a rookie can get lucky every once in a while.
You would think. But the whole time, her father, James, he didn't really buy into all that shit. He was like, she didn't run away. She like, because I guess they had, he was a kind of rough around the edges guy, but I guess he had a good relationship with his daughter. And he was like, she wouldn't, like, even if she was mad at me, she wouldn't do that. So this whole time, he just kind of took the bull by the horns, and he was kind of doing the legwork with, you know, flyers and shit like that, to the point that it actually reached major news outlets.
Like, what, Alaska, all one channel?
No, I think like international.
Oh, no shit.
News, yeah, like Fox News and shit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did they make it on the Deadliest Catch? Did they cover it? Were the captains talking about it?
I don't know. Just driving their boats through the streets of Anchorage looking for this guy?
Yes.
Greenhorn! Hook him! So stupid. So, leads started to come in here and there, but they didn't really aid in any type of effort to find this girl. So, fast forward to February 24th, Dwayne got a text from Samantha's phone that read, "Connor Parks sign under pick of Albert, ain't she purdy?" So, ramping up. Purdy. As if the necrophilia wasn't ramped up already. So, Dwayne, James, and an agent who I have listed later, I don't know why I didn't just put his name there, they went to the park mentioned in the text. Hanging on the sign was a flyer for a missing dog named Albert. And also a bag with a ransom note and photocopied photos of Samantha. The ransom note was like 4 fucking pages. That's your first problem, bud.
4 pages.
Yes. 4 fucking pages. And it basically, this person was just demanding $30,000 to be put in the account that was shared by Samantha and Dwayne.
Fuck, what, a dollar a word?
Right.
And what Stephen King and if
they
doing?
And if they did that, she would be released in 6 months.
6 months? Was it a fucking kidnapper's layaway program?
The fuck? Like, that doesn't make sense. That's not how it works.
You pay me this much money, and I will release them in 6 months.
I don't think that's how it works, boss.
But I will give you a receipt.
Anyway, fucking idiot. So on the 29th, James deposited $5,000 in the account, and very shortly after, I'm pretty sure within an hour, somebody tried to withdraw $600 from an ATM in Anchorage, but you can only withdraw fucking $500, so that shit didn't work, stupid.
Hmm.
Yeah, which is they had already had, they were like, I don't want to say suspicions, but they had this like idea floating in their around their heads about her father. Because like, he had had his run-ins with police and shit like that.
The father of the
boyfriend. And the fact that somebody, like, he put in $5,000 into the account. And, like, I'm pretty sure literally within an hour, somebody tried to hit the account with the card. And they were like, So they're getting suspicious of him now, too.
Well, those are the first people they always look at, the first suspects.
Yeah.
The father or the significant other.
So now let's get into this a little further. A week later, a $400 transaction was withdrawn from an ATM in Wilcox, Arizona. And an hour after that, a failed withdrawal, again trying to get $600, even though there's a $500 limit. Stupid. An hour after the Arizona withdrawal, there was another failed withdrawal attempted at an ATM in Lordsburg, New Mexico.
So we have a path.
Yes. This is when they were like, well, this guy is probably, this person of interest is probably going to keep moving east on the 10. So let's fucking buckle up, Buttercup. Get ready for that.
He's obviously driving. So let's hop in a helicopter. Yes.
Now, using footage from the bank security system, they found that the person in the question was driving a white Ford Focus. So, which is kind of funny. Because this guy was rolling in a white Ford Focus that he had rented in Alaska.
Okay.
He went to get a different car. Like, to trade it in. He was like, oh, this one, there's something wrong with this one. I don't like it. I don't like the Escort. And he was driving a white Escort. You know what he got?
What?
As a replacement?
A blue Escort.
A white Escort.
Okay, so this guy is a killer. Likes to knock the backs out of dead bodies. But the worst thing, he likes Escorts.
No, he didn't get one by choice. That's just all they had.
Oh, okay.
So, like, at that point, I would be like, I might as well just turn myself in, because clearly karma's coming for me on this one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to ditch the getaway vehicle, and they're giving me the getaway vehicle.
This is bad luck.
And the shitty part is, like, he couldn't turn it down because he was trying to say there was something wrong with it, or he didn't like the car as is. You know what I'm saying?
Why are all crimes that involve a car seem to be white?
You got white Bronco.
White Bronco.
This white Escort.
This white Escort. You know, the joke is, you know, child molesters, white panel van. Shit, I just realized I have a white truck.
You do?
Damn. No wonder I get dirty, weird looks. Okay, continue.
So, they later encountered the car in the parking lot of a hotel. And they kind of staked it out old school style. You know, you could go get you a thermos of coffee and a dozen donuts. You start talking bad about your wives.
I don't have to do that on a freaking stakeout.
That just seems to be what they do on all the movies. It's like, goddamn, Janice won't let me have red meat no more. She says it's going to give me another heart attack. Another heart attack? How many heart attacks you had, Ronnie? This year?
This year.
Fuck you, Ted. So they encounter the car, find the car. They kind of chill, see what happens. And then a white male gets into the car and begins to drive it. The officer informs dispatch and shit like that. He is told, find any reason that you can legally pull over and detain that car and that person.
How about just being in a white Escort? Good enough reason.
At that time in that place, yeah. So eventually it hit the car. The person driving the car went 2 miles an hour over the speed limit. So they lit him up, pulled him over.
How fast are you going? 37.
Fast enough. And when the officer approached the car and began dealing with the driver, this is when this person is identified as Israel Keys.
We went 30-some-odd minutes, we're finally getting to the title of the show, Israel Keys.
Well, I find this to be the most compelling and interesting part of the story.
You're telling a story. You're drawing the listeners in and the viewers in.
Now, we'll do a
story of rape.
It might as well be pedophilia, honestly.
Okay.
So, we'll go into Israel Keys a little bit.
Let's find out about this model citizen.
Yes. Israel Keys was born on January 7, 1978 in Richmond, Utah to parents Heidi Keys and John Jeffrey Keys. John Jeffrey Kieselheimer Schmidt.
Who would name their kid Israel?
Oh, I mean, as a last name.
Is cool. he like that. Ethnic of some sort? What is his?
I don't know. He's white. He looks white to me.
I think I've seen one picture, but he looks kind of
white,
darker olive skin to me. Maybe just tanned. I don't know.
He's First Nation.
Oh, maybe.
No, Israel. I don't know. He's from Utah. He's white.
You would think.
People from Utah. Albino. Utes are just fucking clear. Like Larry Bird.
Well, if you name your kid Israel, odds are they're going to be an MMA fighter or serial killer. One of the two.
So he was the second of 10 children in a large Mormon family. Israel and his siblings were homeschooled and taught the Mormon faith and beliefs until 1983. This is when the family left the Mormon faith and moved to Colville, Washington, when Israel was 5 years old. On this property, the family lived in a one-room cabin without electricity or running water. Yeah.
I like it. Repping it.
Yeah. While living in Colville, the family attended services at a church called the Ark, which practiced white supremacist Christian identity ideology. And while attending the Ark, the Keyes family became friends with the neighbor and his family, Chevy Kehoe, who was, well, Chevy Kehoe was convicted of triple murder in 1996.
Well, I have a problem. Why do you have to call this, when you're describing the church, start off with white supremacy?
Right. Just call it the White Supremacy Church. The Church of White Supremacy.
Okay.
So later in life, Israel and the family attended the Christian Israel Covenant Church, which taught British Israelism as doctrine, preached against miscegenation.
Whatever that is.
It is the race trading is what like a white supremacist group would call it now. Oh. Intermingling of the races.
Oh.
Crossbreeding of the races, if you will. Stupid people shit.
Yes.
Basically.
Who doesn't like... They're adorable.
Little mulatto babies.
Oh, beautiful.
Looks like a nice little cup of coffee with two creams in it.
Oh, beautiful.
Get your little fat cocoa cheeks.
I'm just looking forward to that day we're all the same freaking color.
It won't happen.
Then we've got to find another reason to hate each other.
Well, we won't be alive for it. So it also taught that Anglo-Saxons were to rule over the perceived inferior races. And the church was alleged to be militia-like by Israel Keyes. Sounds about right. Hmm.
That's Gregory. You did say Ford Focus the first time, then it went to Escort.
Oh.
It's okay.
They both suck.
Yeah, they're basically...
I'd rather have a Focus. Well, they don't even make the Escort anymore, do they?
Basically the same car, but...
Small Fords. The Ford's version of Civics.
We know.
Yeah. So, Keyes grew up fast, very fast, physically. He was 6'2" by the time he was 14.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's not like me.
The big boy. And he was stealing guns from neighbors, breaking into houses, and torturing and killing animals.
Of course.
Check it off the list. His parents remained religious zealots for the entirety of his young life, to the point that he renounced his Christian faith because of them. He told his parents that he was an atheist after an argument, which led his parents to kick him out and instructing his younger siblings to not contact him ever again.
Scientology disaster.
All of this shit kind of piled up and led Israel Keyes to developing a crazy obsession with Satanism with plans of committing a ritualistic murder.
Now you're talking my language. Now you gain my interest.
All right, let me scroll back down. Really far down. There we go. Now, the Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers?
Yes.
You had a... Texas Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah. They took Israel Keyes. Yeah, they took Israel Keyes into custody and began questioning him and his girlfriend Kimberly, who said that he couldn't have done any of this. He was working in the shed before they left for their family trip. Yeah, he was working on a dead chick's cooter. Like, no disrespect to the young lady that died here, but like, that's what he was fucking doing, you dummy. How about this? Don't have a whole goddamn area in your house that your creepy fucking boyfriend has all the access to. It's not going to end well. No, I don't even give a fuck if he seems creepy anyway. If he seems perfectly legit, if there's a room that he goes, you must, if he Mufasa's you, you must never go there. Fuck that. Get out. It's something bad. There's fucking skin lampshades or like fucking like cockroach collections. There's something fucking weird in there.
I'm going to have to disagree. As a man who does like his privacy every now and then.
You do not go in there, whether I'm in there or not, you do not come looking for me while I'm in there. That's too much.
This is my time.
Like, ring the bell if you need me.
Send me a text if I
page me.
I'm there. I'll let you know.
Hit up the pager with a 911 at the end of it if it's an emergency.
Or 69.
Yes.
Then you watch him come running.
Yeah. So he was arrested for using the debit card that was not his. And the fact that it belonged to Samantha Koenig meant that they could extradite him back to Alaska. Right. So this happened.
Now we have probable cause.
Yes. So they extradite him back to Alaska. And this is where this fucking twat waffle, he's not that bad, but he could have fucked things up really bad. Kevin Feldes comes into, he's a prosecutor in Alaska. Might actually still be. He decided that he wanted to interrogate Israel Keyes himself. So let's talk about this from a crime standpoint. That is a bad idea. Because cops,
they're much better.
Cops can work. Not even that. Cops can work around some rules.
Yes.
There are bendable rules of interrogation and shit when you're dealing with the cops.
Yes.
When the prosecutor steps in the room, those rules are concrete. All of them.
Which is not a bad concept.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Maybe
go back to the West Memphis 3.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So those rules should be concrete.
Yeah. Well, because like the prosecutor can offer deals, all that shit.
Right.
So I find it questionable that they let this guy in there first.
Well, that's Alaska.
That's true. I guess the sergeant was probably seal hunting. I got a big one. Look at this fucker. I'm going to make 35 candles out of this guy. Oh, you got the killer, dude? Sweet. Let me put my spear away. I think that's how cops are in Alaska.
The further north you go.
What'd I tell you about riding a moose drunk? Fucking shit ass. I stole that one from Reservation Dogs.
Which I'm going to start watching.
They just call each other, they say shit ass all the time. It's like their thing. I don't know if it's an actual reservation thing or what, but it's just shit ass. Everyone's a shit ass.
It's hilarious. A little redundant, I think.
Literally, like that's, like people aren't like, you fucking asshole, you shit asses.
Probably no fucking of the asshole.
Yeah. So, Keyes basically controlled this situation of being interrogated.
Uh-huh.
He demanded to have cigars, Snickers bars, and coffee, which they gave him all of those things.
Man, and get rid of the coffee and the cigars I could live without.
Yeah. Well, and he also, I mean, one of his demands also was that, like, none of this touches his daughter. Which,
reasonable fair. Request.
Even for a piece of shit, I'll give you that one. She shouldn't have to worry about your daughter getting negative attention from this, but, you know, you do, because you done it.
That's kind of the price you pay.
You fuckwad.
The price you pay when you do something like this.
Yes. He also actually demanded a female officer to talk to, which I think was just kind of, he just wanted to see the shock and disgust on her face. So we're right back to being a total piece of shit after being an okay dad.
Please tell me this guy killed more than one person. Or just this whole...
We're just getting started.
I was going to say, because if he gets caught on his first time, why are we covering his ass?
So, okay. He also... The only other request that I found that he stood by was he did request the death penalty, and he requested it as soon as possible.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're basically like, no, I mean, what are you interrogating me for? I'm guilty. Kill me.
He wanted to, you know, fast drive.
Yeah. So... He tells, in these interrogations, he tells about how he abducted, assaulted, and murdered Samantha, dismembered her body, and dropped it through a hole he made in the ice of a frozen lake wrapped in chicken wire and weighted down so her body parts would sink.
That would actually, you would think, I think Alaska is one of the highest places per capita. I think we covered that.
For serial killers? Yeah. Well, it's because it's per capita. It's such a small population.
Yeah, because there's 15 people in the state.
Yeah.
But with all the frozen lakes and shit and all the frozen shit, I think it would be pretty easy to dispose of a body.
Oh, yeah.
But they'd be so well preserved.
Well, we're Canada.
Yeah, but they'd be, the temperature, they'd be well preserved. So if they get get discovered, there's not going to be a lot of deterioration.
Yeah, and like I said, you got Canada right there. Because I'm pretty sure Canada has more lakes than every piece of land in the world combined.
Probably. Fuck them ice road truckers.
Right?
I do not like driving over ice.
Twoo. So he actually, he did this over a couple day period. Like, he did her head and, her arms one day, and then the next day went back, dumped her torso. And then he ice fished there, and he fed his family with the fish that he caught.
Sweet. Well, he was just killing two birds, one stone.
Getting two birds stoned at once.
Yes, he was disposing of a body and catching dinner.
Yeah, so they found Samantha Koenig. Yeah, they found Samantha Koenig's remains on April 2nd, 2012, in Manitouska Lake, exactly where he told him they would find them. So at least there's that.
Well, he's truthful. He's cooperating.
Yeah. So that's kind of that story overall.
Mm-hmm.
Now we move into some other stuff. A lot of questionable stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of a lot of whodunits that could be and kind of point to him,
mm-hmm.
but we'll never know, except for two.
Okay.
So in the summer of 1997 or 1988, Keyes admits and alleges, because there was never any charges brought on this, that he sexually assaulted a teenage girl who was tubing down the Deschutes River in Maupin, Oregon with her friends. He said that he stalked the girl from the tree line before, quote, very violently sexually assaulting the girl, who he said was between 14 and 18 years of age, and he did this by knife point.
I mean, really? Very violently sexually assaulting?
There's another quote. There's another quote on this one. He had originally planned to murder her as a part of a satanic ritual, but he let her go back to the tube that he had that he took her from. Good call. I mean, it's like, I'm glad the girl's alive, but you're a bad killer.
Obviously.
So, but he actually said later about this, quote, I was too timid. I wasn't violent enough. I made up my mind. I was never going to let that happen again.
He learned from his mistakes.
This guy's a full-on fucking psycho. Because, like I said, just the fact that he can rape and murder somebody and fuck a dead body and then just go back in the house and be like, hey, darling, you want some applesauce?
You want to put on some cartoons for you?
You want dad to put on Baby Shark? Fucking idiot. So, after these events, Keyes relocated to New Jersey and enlisted in the U.S. Army on July 9th, 1998, where he served as a specialist in Alpha Company, 1st Battalion, 5th Infantry Regiment. He actually passed the really difficult month-long preliminary course for the United States Army Rangers.
Uh-huh.
After that, he was stationed at Fort Lewis, Fort Hood, and spent a lot of time abroad while stationed in Sinai, Egypt. While he was stationed at Fort Lewis, he served on a mortar team in the 1st Battalion, 5th Infantry, and 25th Infantry Division. And while he was part of the military, his friends said he was, quiet. He kept to himself a lot. And on weekends, he would just, drink bottles of fucking Wild Turkey by himself.
I like the guy at this point, then.
Yeah. It's also there's also allegations out there that he was a fan of Insane Clown Posse, which... A lot of people would be like, well, there you go. I don't agree with those fucking opinions. I think it's a little stupid. But, you know, there are some fucking odd people that listen to that music.
Yes.
That don't make the best life choices.
I can't disagree with you there.
And I'm not trying to hate on I'm not down with the clown, but I'm not hating. I'm not no jug-a-ho. Whoop, whoop. Much motherfucking wicked clown love.
I'm never a big fan myself.
Hands up for the Joker's cards or whatever the fuck. I don't even know. I know a little bit. I just find it hilarious. So, that's that. He traditionally, if the alleged crimes that he committed and some of the ones that he said he committed are in fact his doing, he made it a very big thing of not staying in the same place.
Okay, that's not a bad idea.
Yes.
When it comes to the occupation of serial killer.
Well, he was actually known at the time for having committed multiple kinds of crimes and murders across the states, like all over the place, which was to help him keep him from getting caught.
He was a five-tool criminal.
Yeah, he moved around a lot so he wouldn't get caught, and he also planned ahead a lot before he would commit a crime.
Yeah. Obviously, the last one that he did, he didn't plan too much ahead. Didn't think it through too well, but that's okay.
Yeah. So he also made it a point to focus heavily on campgrounds and other isolated locations and claimed that he only used guns when necessary and that he preferred strangulation due to the pleasure derived from witnessing victims lose consciousness in the struggle.
Sweet.
R.I.P. Robin Williams.
He likes to put the work in.
Yeah. R.I.P. a lot of fucking celebrities that killed themselves. Those were some very big, sarcastic-looking rabbit ears I put on that for anybody that's listening to this.
Yes.
Anyway, Keyes also claimed that he did not kill children or parents of children because he was afraid of his daughter finding out about him and the crimes that he did commit. However, police and the FBI are very skeptical of this and actually suspect Keyes of killing several teens or children over his active years.
Well, but his years active wasn't that long.
There was two.
Two different.
There was like 2011 to 2012, and then there was like 97 to like 2001.
Okay. But we all know cops are, they like to close cases. And so
all cops are bastards. I don't believe that.
But, you know, they'll throw a lot of extra bodies on just to kind of close the books on some shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It makes life easy.
Yeah.
Like, they're already dead.
Yeah. Give the family some closure.
Okay. So, it's actually believed that Keyes' first murders were committed in his teenage years between 1996 and 1997 in and around Colville because of this information. Julie Harris, a 12-year-old Special Olympics medalist in skiing, disappeared in 1996. Her remains were found a year later in a wooded area a few miles away. Cassie Emerson, a young girl from the Colville area, was reported missing after her mother's remains were discovered in their burnt out trailer in 1997. Cassie's remains were found in 1998, 13 miles from her home. No arrests were made with either of those cases, and Keyes never admitted to killing her, but did admit that his first act of arson was committed on a trailer.
Well, that was like, they were real hard to burn down.
Well, that's where the mother's remains were found, in a burnt down, in their burnt down trailer.
Oh, okay.
In Colville, Oregon. Or okay. Wherever the fuck.
It's Oregon.
Bunch of bitches. Not the dead people. They're great. They're angels. In the arms
of the angel. Okay, Sarah. Let's move it
on. So Israel Keyes also never admitted to any murders during his 3 years in the army, but did admit to twice attempting to rape women.
Wait, he didn't kill anybody in the army?
He's
a shitty soldier.
Right? One of these was with a sex work. What the fuck? No, my stream just fucking died.
I don't know. Looks like ours is on mine. It's still up and running. We're good.
Huh.
Must be your phone.
I'm doing too much. You really be doing too much. And because of that, I lost my goddamn place.
Oh, shit.
Wait for it.
And?
Got it. Almost.
Gotta get it good.
Almost.
Damn it. Premature.
Fucking stupid technologically. So one of these attempted rapes was with a sex worker while on leave in Egypt, and another time with a college student he met in Israel.
I have a question.
Seven.
No. If you rape a sex worker, that's not really rape. That's stealing.
It's still rape.
It's a joke, jackass.
I know, but shit. Poor taste.
Have you not listened to this show before?
Yeah. Anyway. So he also admitted to investigators that he killed four people in Washington State and said he was a subject of an active investigation by the state police and the FBI. He is also a suspect in a series of 2007 crimes by the, quote, Boca Killer near Boca Raton, Florida. Do you know what Boca Raton means?
I have no idea.
Mouth of the Rat. Great name for retirement home. Lake City.
Huh.
Yeah. So
there's something new every day here. Ghost of the Night.
You're welcome. So the first case tentatively linked to Keys was the murder of Randy Gorenberg, who in March 2007 was abducted from a shopping mall parking lot. Within an hour... Why does my fucking shit keep pausing? Fuck it. Why don't I even have it on? God damn it. I'm over this technology shit. It's stupid. So, within an hour, her body was found with two fatal bullet wounds and was dumped, obviously, at a different location.
So...
Yeah.
He broke his own MO and used a gun.
Yeah. Well, he said he only used a gun if he had to.
He had weak hands that day. Maybe. Maybe he was in a cast.
And it's Boca Raton, so I'm assuming that this person was like fucking 86.
Plus, most people don't realize it does take quite a bit of an effort to strangle somebody out. Mm. But, you know, it's not as easy as they make it seem like on television.
Oh, yeah, when people are like dead in like 4 seconds.
You have to put some effort into it. And you're burning freaking muscle. You know, that lactic acid kicks in, you know.
Then there's two dead fat people.
Yes.
So the second crime was the kidnapping of an unidentified woman who claimed she and her toddler son, were abducted from a shopping mall parking lot on August 7th, 2007. Though the kidnapper wore a mask and sunglasses, the victim caught glimpses of his face and described him as a tall, athletically built man with long hair and generally matching Key's description. Yes. This woman was released unharmed from by this assailant, because we don't know if it was him. And he forced her to withdraw cash from an automated teller machine. It's an ATM for anybody who's wondering. Keep that fucking straight. The third Boca case was the murder of Nancy Bacciccio.
I'm sure that's right.
47 years old, and her 7-year-old daughter, Joey, who were found fatally shot in their vehicle in a mall parking lot on December 12, 2007.
Now, these are ones they did not necessarily prove.
He's just alleged to have.
Right. Because. Obviously.
Well, because they the reason all this shit came up is because they started, once they found him and they kind of started putting stuff together with how things were going on with that Samantha Koenig case.
Yeah.
They started pulling his travel records. And this stuff just kind of links up with time periods of when he was in places.
Well, see, that's a good thing. I can never be a serial killer. They pull my travel records.
They'll be like, you went to the fucking corner store.
10-mile radius.
Right.
Not even 10-mile radius. 10-mile straight line, almost.
Right. So, Keys confessed to at least one murder in New York State. In late 2012, authorities had not determined the identity, age, or sex of the victim, or when and where the murder may have occurred, but registered the confession as credible. Why not?
I agree.
Yeah, which this kind of makes a little bit of sense, because he actually owned 10 acres, which had a shitty little cabin on it, in the town of Constable in New York State.
He's just got freaking places all over the country.
Yes. And
coast
he
to coast.
Well, he also admitted to, he had a construction company, I believe it was.
Oh, so he wasn't like a dirtbag, poor dirtbag. No. He was just a dirtbag.
No, yes.
He was just an asshole.
Yes. But he also confessed to committing bank robberies in New York and Texas. The FBI later confirmed that Keys robbed the community bank branch in Tupper Lake, New York in April 2009. And he also told authorities that he burglarized a Texas home and set it on fire. And there's actually, I actually saw a security camera picture of him robbing a bank.
That's one thing I never, how do you get away with robbing a bank?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially today's, with all the freaking cameras.
Right. Like, you're gonna rob a bank, but you wouldn't go buy a fucking Polaroid camera from Walmart,
especially today with the Facebook,
burner phone
with like the Facebook algorithm. That probably alerts the cops before you even walk in the front door.
Oh, yeah.
Just like you heard that story about that guy who kept getting ads from Target about pregnancy shit. And it turns out his daughter was pregnant. The freaking app knew before, Facebook knew before the daughter even took the test. So, obviously, that algorithm's
that good. It's like fingerprint scanner.
That algorithm's so good. Can it tell he's going to rob a bank? Of course, this was 10 years ago or whatever. Or, yeah. No, this is before that.
Yeah, this is 15 years ago. Yeah. So authorities claim Keyes may have murdered a woman believed to be Deborah Feldman in April of 2009 in New Jersey and buried her near Tupper Lake, New York. He also admitted to murdering Bill and Lorraine Currier of Essex, Vermont.
Hmm.
Yes. Keyes broke in. This is another. This one's confirmed, I believe. Like 100% would have been charged for it. We'll get to that later. So Bill and Lorraine Currier in Vermont again. Keyes broke into their house on the night of June 8th, 2011, tied them up before driving them to an abandoned farmhouse where he shot Bill in the head. This was a long thing. Not long, but like I kind of sub. What's the word I'm looking for here?
Substituted?
No. I shortened it a little bit.
Okay. Paraphrased.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory, but like, so he takes him to this abandoned farmhouse where he shot Bill and killed him and before he sexually assaulted and strangled Lorraine. Because he first off, he strangled her more than once. He strangled her till she passed out. And then, I believe the timeline is he strangled her until she passed out. And then he killed Bill. And then when she came to, that's when he sexually assaulted her because he wanted her to look at her dead husband while he was raping her before he killed her.
That seems like a bit much. That's a lot of shit.
Yeah, I know, right?
On. That's a lot of shit going on.
Right? Neither of their bodies have ever been found either.
I'm too lazy to do that then. I could never be a serial killer. I'm too lazy for that.
Only cereal I'd be killing is Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But yeah, they never found those bodies.
Hmm.
2 years prior to this, Keyes hid a, quote, murder kit, which he later used near the Currier home. After the murders, he moved most of the contents to a new hiding place in Parrishville, New York, where they remained until after his arrest. Like he'd have like a .22, a homemade suppressor, rope, stuff like that in like a bucket that he would bury and he could have it there to go get it and go kill somebody. Not the only murderer to do that.
No, I mean, a kill kit is common.
That's what I'm saying. What was the guy's fucking net worth?
Obviously he was doing pretty well for himself.
Right. Jesus Christ. So Keyes is a suspect in the murder of Jimmy Tidwell, an electrician who disappeared near Longview, Texas on February 15th, 2012, during a bank robbery in Azle, Texas on February 16th, 2012, about 170 miles from Longview. The culprit, believed to be Keyes, wore a white hard hat similar to Tidwell's.
Hmm.
That's the picture I saw. He's definitely wearing a white hard hat. Now, a little side note, while on Wednesday, May 23rd of 2012, Keyes attempted to escape during a routine hearing, he actually used wood shavings from a pencil to pick his handcuffs.
That's impressive.
Yeah. That's tased.
Oh, that was, I would, don't, that's one, I almost would rather be shot than tased.
I heard it's better to be tased than pepper sprayed.
Oh,
depending on the pepper spray.
I mean, yeah, pepper spray.
Especially like that OC spray that they give fucking corrections officers and shit. That's a whole different animal.
Because if you get shot, I'd rather be shot than any of those. If you get shot, yeah, there's a good chance you're going to die if they hit a vital. But if you get shot and it doesn't hit any anything vital, and it goes through and through, yeah, it's going to hurt. But eventually you're going to go into shock. It's not going to hurt as much.
Yeah, and then you can tell people you got shot.
Yeah. Then you have a cool chick stick scars. You have a cool scar. But
50 Cent got shot 9 times, so you'd be like nickel.
Yeah. But pepper spray and Taze, oh, that would, that just link, especially being pepper spray.
At the same time.
Pepper spray, that freaking shit. I've gotten, you know, some shit in my eye.
That's hilarious. All I saw in my head was somebody, like, at the police training academy, like, getting, doing the Taser thing where they lay you down, and then you're like, oh, God, that was fucking awful. I never want to, and then they just pepper spray them right after they start to get out, come out of it.
But I've got some shit in my eye before. Hell, I got poison ivy in the eye. That sucked.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. But no,
my, like, best friend when I was a kid had fucking, when he got chicken pox, he had chicken pox on the insides of his eyelids.
Huh.
Yeah. Really?
That's interesting.
Right.
But, you know, you don't, it, no, I wouldn't think you could, I've never been pepper sprayed either. Just, you know, got my red pepper in my eyes, you know, from touching my, you know, having it on my hands and then touching my, which sucked, but wasn't that bad. But pepper spray, it's not going to put you in shock, I wouldn't think. It's just going to be painful as all fuck.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I'd rather be shot. Yeah, the initial pain's going to hurt, and there's a chance you're going to die, depending on where you get shot. But eventually you're going to go into shock, and it's not going to hurt as much.
So just to wrap up a little bit, not entirely, while being held in jail at the Anchorage Correctional Complex on suspicion of murder, Israel Keyes managed to conceal a razor blade in his cell. Even though he was under the security restriction of only using an electric razor under supervision. Welcome to prison. That's what they do. They're good at hiding shit.
Up their keisters.
Yes. So he cut his, on December, he was, so December 2nd, 2012, he had cut his wrists and attempted to hang himself. And there was a suicide note, which I will pull up. Was found under his body, consisted of an ode to murder, but offered no clues to the other possible victims. Now let me see. I have to find this.
Now, so he slit his wrist and hung himself.
Right? Almost seems like he didn't do it.
Did he have, in your research, did he have any contact with the Clintons? I'm just joking, Bill and Hillary. Lighten the fuck up.
I'm not. He killed Epstein. Why not fucking Israel?
Don't get me started on Epstein and whatever her name is.
Jizbol?
Yes. I'm still hot about that. I will always be hot about that. I want the list. Why are we not going after these fucking people?
I mean, you fucking figured that one out yet, right?
Oh, I know why, but where's the outrage, people?
Oh, let's see. Let's just do, let's do some, we'll paraphrase these a little, this a little bit. Because the thing with this thing is, like, not even just this thing, like, this guy is a fucking annoying, pretentious fucking dickhead. Like, watching videos of interrogations and shit like that, like, he thinks he is the smartest motherfucker in the room all the time. And he's not. Like, he thinks he's, like Hannibal. Like, he thinks he's so smart and he's so cool and, like, just knows everything. He's always one step ahead. Which probably didn't help when he was getting interviewed by that one dude, because that dude pretty much just let him fucking coerce him through the interrogation. So he's probably thinking he's a badass even more. He was. He's just fucking annoying. Like, even if he wasn't a murderer, he's the type of person that you want to fucking punch in the face.
We've all met those people.
Yeah. This guy just happens to rape and murder people. So, he needs to get punched justified in the face. Like, people like him should get the death penalty, but they should be killed by, like fold up a piece of notebook paper and just have, like, shifts of people that hit them as hard as they can, and it doesn't really hurt because it's just a piece of notebook paper, but have it be in the exact same spot until it just deteriorates that spot on your head over, like, a 3-year period, and eventually you die.
Right.
That's how he should have been killed.
Actually, I say get rid of the death penalty. We know I've changed my view on death penalty since the West Memphis 3 shit. I think instead of the death penalty, death row should consist of the biggest pedophile with the longest dick possible. to be their roommate.
Why a pedophile?
Well, or a rapist or whatever.
I was going to say, a pedophile wouldn't even be any good. Okay, they'd be like, I don't want that adult butthole.
Just a rapist with the biggest dick ever. And you have to be his roommate. And he just goes from room to room every night. And that is how you spend the rest of your life, getting rammed in the ass by some big burly guy with a 13-inch donger.
Donger. The real knee slapper.
That is what I think. That is better than death. Death is too easy.
Oh, God. Should I read the whole thing?
Do what you want. Sure.
We're good on time. It's pretty wordy, but it will give you...
I'm assuming we're coming toward the end.
Yeah, we're good on time. A lot of people like this shit, this true crime shit, but it's like guys like this, he ceased being, I don't want to say interesting to me because of how he carried himself. Well, he was such a fucking douche.
Nobody likes an asshole.
So this is his suicide note.
Nobody likes a know-it-all asshole.
Oh, he thinks he's like, a fucking, a laureate, if you will. Like, he just thinks he's so smart and he thinks he's so eloquent and amazing about everything. But here we go. Where will you go, you clever little worm, if you bleed your host dry? Yeah. Back in your ride, the night is still young. Streetlights push back the black I neat rose. Not the best writer.
No.
Off to the right.
Trying too hard.
Off to the right, a graveyard appears. Lines of stones. Bodies molder below. Turn away quick. Bob your head to the seat. As straight through that stop sign you roll, loaded truck with lights off slams into your broadside. Your flesh smashed as metal explodes. You may have been free. You loved living your life. Fate had its own scheme crushed like a bug. You still die. I think it's supposed to be a poem, but it's not a very good one.
No, it's not a very... He's not...
Right. Soon now you'll join those ranks of dead. Excuse me. Or your ashes, the wind will soon blow. Family and friends will shed a few tears. Pretend it's off to heaven you go. But the reality is you were just bones and meat. And with your brain died also your soul. Such a douche. Send the dying to wait for their death in the comfort of retirement homes. Quietly, quickly say, it's for the best. It's best for you so their fate you'll not know. Turn a blind eye back to the screen. Soak in your reality shows. Stand in front of your mirror and your preen in a plastic castle you call home. Land of the free, land of the lie, land of the scheme, Americanize. It sounds like a fucking shitty Rage Against the Machine line. Land of the free, land of the lie, land of the scheme, Americanize. Consume what you don't need. Stars you idolize, pursue what you admit is a dream, then it's American die. Get in your big car so you can get to work fast on roads made of dinosaur bones. Punch in on the clock and sit on your ass playing stupid-ass games on your phone. Paper on your wall says you got smarts. The tests that you took told you so. But you would still crawl like the vermin you are once your precious power grid's blown. Land of the free, land of the lie, land of the scheme, Americanize. Well, again.
Well, we have the hook now.
Yes. Now that I have you held tight, I will tell you a story. Speak soft in your ear so you know that it's true. Don't really know how that... That's not how that works. Just because you speak softly doesn't mean it's true. Idiot.
Yeah, because we speak softly and we are never telling the truth here on the show.
You're my love at first sight, and though you're scared to be near me, my words penetrate your thoughts now in an intimate prelude. I looked in your eyes. They were so dark, warm, and trusting, as though you had not a worry or care. The more Gillis the game, the better potential to fill up those pools with your fear. Your face framed in dark curls like a portrait. The sun shone through highlights of red. What color, I wonder? And how straight will it turn, plastered back with the sweat of your blood? Let's see. I can get rid of some of this. Words that couldn't even be read. Butterfly references. Violet metamorphosis emerged my dark moth princess. I would come often and worship on the altar of your flesh. You were shudder with revulsion and try to shrink far from me. I'll have you tied down and begging to become my Stockholm sweetie.
Ooh.
That was actually a good one. Give him that one. That one is actually pretty good.
Stockholm sweetie.
Yeah, I'll give him that one. I'll have you tied down and begging to become my Stockholm sweetie. That should be in a metal song.
Yes.
Okay, talk is over. Words are placid and weak. Back at it with action or it all comes to off cheap. Watch close while I work now. Feel the electric shock of my touch. Open your trembling flower or your petals I'll crush. Is he talking about finger blasting somebody?
It sounds like it. I mean,
he was telling us about how he wanted to finger blast his Stockholm sweetie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretentious little fuck.
Yeah, I mean, that was somebody who wrote that the way it was written sounds like he just read a book on creative writing and tried to put everything into one thing.
Yeah.
Into one work.
Yep.
We had a checklist we had to hit.
Mm-hmm. Stockholm sweetie was the only good
part. I will
part
give him that. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was the diamond in the manure pile.
Big shit pile.
Big steamy pile of shit.
Just like him as a person.
Oh, yes. I agree. So.
Yeah, he was just, he was a pretentious, he was a fucking douche. He didn't give a fuck. Like, he actually said, I remember he got very, the Aurora thing, movie theater shooting.
Okay, yeah.
The Batman shooting.
Yeah.
That happened while he's in custody. He became very interested in that. Well, after it happened. And then,
did I ever tell you that story?
What?
About my movie theater experience?
No.
Well, go ahead and finish that and I'll tell you my scare at a movie theater.
Who was it? BTK. Like, he said, Ted Bundy was like his idol. And then, some of the shit he said about, like, BTK and some other serial killers was, like, basically just saying how they were soft because they felt remorse for anything that they did. And I was like, how do you have a kid and you're good to the kid?
Yeah, that's
if just, you clearly just are, you just lack human emotion.
That is just somebody playing hard, you know, trying to beef up his own ego by saying, oh, they're weak because they showed
empathy. Pussies.
Yeah. That's just, and we all know those are the type of people that are the pussies.
Yeah. It's okay to cry.
Anyway.
Crying lets the sad out.
Yes. It's beautiful to cry. I cried today.
Did you?
Yes.
Did you watch like Marley and Me or something?
No, it was a tampon commercial. No, I'm joking. No, my movie theater story is I took my youngest daughter to the movies. She was, I want to say 15, maybe 16. But we went to the movie theaters. We went to see a movie. You know, she lived with her mother. So, you know, it was my time. We wanted to go to the movie. We went to the, you know, she might have been younger than that. She might have been 13.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a while. And we get there early, naturally. The lights, it was not a crowded theater. It's like a Sunday. It was crowded for a Sunday matinee showing. So the lights start going down. The previews are coming through. These two guys come in and sit in front of us. And they're real fidgety and squirming around. You know, it was kind of weird.
Maybe you have told me this, go on.
It was where I was keeping an eye on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm, you know, putting my, because, you know, I'm in protective state. Because I will cut a bitch.
Yeah.
If you go after one of my kids, I will fucking kill you. But and they were kind of being acting real weird, bending over and stuff, like they were picking something up off the floor. Mm-hmm. And they didn't come in with popcorn or anything, which is fucking clue number one, red flag.
So I'm a red flag. Well, I can't help it.
Well, but I know that. But you'd come in with something, you know.
A drink, something.
Drink or Twizzlers or something.
Yeah.
But they came in empty-handed, in coats, which, you know, it was chilly out. So anyway, about 15 minutes in the movies, those fuckers get up and leave. I'm like, hold the fucking fire.
There's a bomb!
I told my daughter, I said, if I tell you to go to the bathroom or leave, just leave. Don't ask me any freaking questions. I got down and looked under the seat, you know, see if they put a, you know, if I hear a ticking or see, you know, a stopwatch or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to freaking run for my life. It scared the shit out of me.
Fucking Tom Cruise a bomb. The blue wire, the red wire. Got 4 seconds. It's going to blow. Get all those people back. God damn it.
I wish I remember what movie it was. It couldn't have been a good movie because I had my daughter with me. She's got horrible taste in movies.
I don't know, but all I can think of is, like, if that's what you saw under that seat, like, you'd get up and, like, do the dramatic look around to all the people in the theater, and it'd be that, and then, even though it's not that kind of movie, really, but then the Top Gun song.
I mean, it wasn't a great movie, but it wasn't a movie to get up and leave in 15 minutes, you know?
I don't know if I've ever walked out of a movie.
I don't think
I think I have once. I don't even remember what it was, though.
I'm trying to think. Have I ever walked
out? I've seen some pretty fucking bad movies.
Oh, I have too.
I paid to go see Van Helsing in theaters.
I'm sorry.
The one with Hugh Jackman?
Well, it did have...
It was my first date.
It did have Kate Beckinsale. I'd stick around just for her.
That was my first date.
I would drink her bathwater.
My dad had to drive because I was like 13.
Did I tell you? Oh, one time with the ex, he was going on a date. They were under 18. And they were meeting there. At the movie theater. Mm-hmm. So I drove him to there, and they were meeting, you know, there. So they went to buy a ticket, it was a rated R movie. And they were 16-ish.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they had the license yet or whatever. Or maybe they were 15. I don't fucking know. I don't remember. They were young. So I had to go and buy the ticket. And that bitch at the freaking movie would not let me buy two tickets.
Why?
I had to buy three. For me, I had to go in with them.
Wow.
So here's what I said, fine. So I paid freaking $60 or whatever, you know, $20 a piece or whatever. And I said, we started walking. They're kind of looking. I was like, don't worry. I'm not going in. I said, when you get to the movie theater, you go in. There's an exit right there. I'm going out the fucking door. I have to go see your mother because I need my $20 reimbursement. Fuck this shit. I was like, you got to be kidding.
Did you embarrass him?
No.
You should have been like, there's an extra small condom in your wallet just in case. And did you remember to bring your extra underwear?
I know. What I should have did is sat right behind him. Every time, just spread them apart.
Not even. Just throw 1 foot up on on the seats between their heads.
Yes.
Amazing.
Or maybe I didn't have to drive. Maybe they did drive. I just had to buy the ticket. And then they wouldn't let me just buy two tickets. I had to buy three.
What a bunch of bitches.
I'm like, you fuckers. Pissing me off.
Goddamn AMC.
So I went back to the house and said, somebody owes my ass $20. I had to pay to watch a movie I did not watch.
That's amazing.
Anyway, yes.
So yeah, I don't know. Like, I just didn't have... Like, Israel Keyes is interesting, but I hate him. So he makes him less interesting.
He's
such a fucking cuck.
Yes, he is an annoying ass. We all know me. I hate annoying people.
Mm-hmm.
I can almost deal with a serial killer if he's humble about it.
Yeah.
You know, I can deal with that. But if you're an annoying asshole, fuck you. I hate you. No, but I don't know. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
So is that all we got for Mr. Keyes?
Yeah, fuck that dude.
Fuck him. He's no Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy.
I mean, most of the story is in the Samantha Koenig shit, really.
Right. Yeah. Which boggles my mind. If I were ever going to become a serial killer, that would drive me... I don't have ADD or ADHD or whatever, but I could not do what he did. Kill somebody, leave him there, and go on vacation.
Right.
I'd be like,
it's like the one time your neighbor comes over to borrow some beer.
I'd be like Ben Affleck in The Accountant. I gotta finish. I mean, I'm making sure the body's disposed of to the best of my ability. Then going on vacation.
Right. Take the body with you.
Hmm. Yeah.
Dispose of it in another fucking country. They'll never find it.
In international waters.
Yeah, they'll never find it. Take it to wherever Jaws lives.
Yes. Megalodon.
Apparently, Jaws will eat all the time, no matter what. Yes. Even though that's scientifically not how sharks work.
We know this. Don't get me started on sharks.
Sharks. I didn't watch any of Shark Week.
I watched a lot of Shark Week.
I didn't watch any.
I'm still fascinated. People think I'm a pussy because I don't like the ocean. I get past the knees, fuck you, I ain't going any further.
I'll go further than that.
I've seen too many of those pictures, those helicopter pictures of jackasses just swimming around the ocean, and literally from me to you, there's a fucking shark.
Yeah.
Just swimming underneath that. They can't see, but the people up high, you know, in the helicopter can see. See 15 sharks. You're just asking for trouble. I'm not going to a serial killer fucking ball dance or fucking party.
Ball dance?
Whatever. Party.
The fuck is a ball dance?
I don't know. I was thinking of ball, then dance.
Like ballroom dancing?
Yes, that's what I was thinking. But I'm not going to a serial
killer. Duluth trading ballroom underwear?
Yes, I'm not going to a serial killer party. Just like I'm not going to, you know.
You guys going to the Bundy Bash this weekend?
I ain't going. You're asking for fucking trouble.
Mom, can I take Rebecca to the Dahmer dance?
Only if you eat her kidney.
That's how you know she loves you.
That's not code for going south of the border.
Yeah. I am fucking sleepy.
Yes. All right. I think we
failed enough for one day.
We've covered. Hey, today, this episode was better than last episode.
No, it just worked.
Oh yes.
All the equipment worked.
That we know of, so far. I don't know. Your fake farting is not amusing me today. No, but thanks everybody for coming into this additional bullshit episode that we over. No, that's right. This is a real episode. It's not. I don't even know what fucking day it is.
Yeah, it's just a thing.
It's just a thing. It's another episode. We do so many of these. Thank God we don't do two podcasts or two different podcasts. We just do two episodes on one podcast. So we will see you on Wednesday for What the Fuck Wednesday. If you want to follow us and all that happy shit,
WT fuck.
Follow us on all of our socials at Instagram at @ghost_night_podcast, Twitter at @night_ghost, Facebook Ghost of the Night, and the Tiki Talkie at GITN.podcast.
Tic Tac.
If you want to be spied on by the Chinese, watch us on TikTok.
Tick-a-tocka.
Don't forget the Wednesday episode, What the Fuck Wednesday episode, is done Wednesday, hence the name. What the Fuck Wednesday.
So tune in every Friday for What the Fuck Wednesday.
Well, that's actually when it does get released. On the
week. I know. It's so annoying.
Well, I'm thinking about holding them and then releasing the week before.
Just like double up 1 week.
Well, I think last week's, I'm going to release on Wednesday. Just release them a week later. That way it is technically on Wednesday.
Fancy.
Yeah. Anyway. But what was I saying? Oh, I was...
What, Patreon?
Oh, Patreon, yes. And after What the Fuck Wednesday, we do a Patreon
exclusive
live stream with all of our wonderful Patreon subscribers. And you can be a part of that party at patreon.com/, or Travis wants me to be specific, /.
What is a /?
GITN podcast. And you get all the exclusive member only shit. So we will see you guys on Wednesday. Thank you for joining us for this bullshit, for this immature shit that we like to do.
I'm going to sleep so good tonight.
My shitty jokes about, you know.
Shit in your pants.
Yes, and, you know, all of our.
Don't forget, shit your pants tonight.
That is the key to life.
Yes.
If your house is haunted, shit your pants. If you're being raped by Bigfoot,
shit your pants.
Of course, if he's.
If you pissed your pants, you might as well shit your pants.
If you're being anally raped,
shit their pants.
Do whatever you can. Of course, they'll just be packing it back in.
Yep.
Hopefully you had Chipotle.
Oh my god, like that fucking, have you seen the video of that monkey? It's like a chimpanzee and they're just sitting there and he's like, and everybody's watching, they're like, ah, and he's just got his hand down here and he shits in his hand and just whoop. And then they fucking like turn the camera and there's like a grandma and there's like a fucking chunk of monkey shit on her face.
Oh, nasty.
All right. Amazing.
We'll see you guys on Wednesday, and then we'll see you next, also next Sunday for our next full-fledged official episode.
If we live that long.
I'm liable to die at any moment.
I'm about to shit my pants.
We're out. Take care, guys.